Welcome to another edition of Consensus Unreality. Before we get to tonight's episode, a wonderful interview with Willow Truman from the Nonsense Bazaar. We would like to invite you to join our Patreon.
Join us on Patreon to have a nice glimpse behind the curtain. You'll get the full episode here, which is a pretty expansive interview covering a variety of topics, but lots of our regular episodes are also Patreon exclusive, and so you'll only ever be able to hear them behind the closed doors. So join us today
behind the green door of Patreon. Also, yeah, of course, you have our full episode archive. Some of our public episodes we've archived on Patreon only, so you could access the full episode archive of Consensus Unreality. Also, Ben, our Journal of Shells,
our the Journal of Shells
publication.
We've got one, and we're working on the second. It'll be a several times a year publication, a zine from Consensus Unreality. And if you join us at the $10 a month print tier, it'll be shipped to you every time it's printed. And that'll be that.
Yeah. And now's a great time to join that because we are nearing the publication of our second issue. The first issue came out excellent, and we're very happy with this aspect of Consensus Unreality. So check that out. Patreon.com/consensusunreality. It's the best way to support the show if you enjoy what we do and all the weird stuff we're talking about. So enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Consensus. Welcome to Consensus Unreality.
Welcome.
We're doing another episode. Today we're joined by Spectra. Willow Truman of the Nonsense Bazaar. Thank you for joining
us
today.
So glad to be here.
Yeah, this is a cool pod crossover here a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned,
I was gonna say it's an even cooler crossover. It's like a Tumblr crossover because me and Ben used to follow each other on Tumblr like a decade ago.
It's gotta be a decade.
This thing's got levels. Yeah.
If it's not a decade, it's a day. Yeah, that's a long time. So that's funny that we kind of then reemerged along the same river later. Really interesting. Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. And also we have a mutual friend in Steph Quick.
Yes. She's wonderful.
We had her on the show like 2 years ago now, probably. She's a really wonderful person.
Like 4 years. It's like right. It was kind of in 2020, maybe.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Times fly, as they say. So I figure we can kind of talk about what gathered us all here on this path of, I don't know, what would you call this? It's not really the paranormal. It's more inclusive than that. Just like, this.
The strange, I guess.
Yeah.
The fringe. I like that.
Mm. Yeah, the fringe. What set you on this path? If that's not too broad a question.
There was no other option for me, you know? There's like, I've always been very willfully strange, like to an annoying degree. not in a contrarian way, but just by virtue of the fact that I can't be any other way. So it was clear to me from early on that my interests were divergent and tended towards the dark. Like horror movies and death related things were a big interest of mine as a kid. So I think that was kind of my foray into the fringe, is having this interest in like the paranormal, the supernatural, and always feeling like there's more
Yeah.
than what we can see.
Into the Fringe. What is that? That's the title of a Carla Turner book. Do you know Carla Turner?
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah, Carla. Damn, that's funny. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel similarly. It's kind of like a inborn inbred
Yes.
proclivity. It kind of just comes not like that's naturally where I'm drawn. And then of course there's like the synchronicities that sort of pull you along that path anyway, sort of if not against your will, then like in cooperation with your will.
Oh yeah.
And what about you, Dave?
I guess it's kind of like it feels like a spirituality kind of exploration, lifelong, obviously, but I don't know. It sounds stupid, but it's like the world is phenomena, you know? So these kind of like fringe topics, just kind of arise. And like right now, I'm kind of going through this probably the heaviest grieving period of my life, and my brain is kind of feels shrunk a little bit. But previous to this, like there was all of these, synchronous things kind of arriving and stuff, and it's kind of how just we contextualize life events and I guess just make sense of the world. I just wouldn't know any other way, and I'm sure that's kind of the same for you both.
Oh yeah, definitely. My mom requested today that we watch Grey Gardens together because she had never seen it, and I was like, "Ooh, a bit close to home because I'm here taking care of her," and like it was just there were so many parallels within the movie and our life. But of course, like I had the perspective of, okay, well, we're not washed out aristocrats living in a giant filthy house covered in cat food. I'm not 56 and still have n like never flown the nest. But it was funny and it was cool to watch it with her and like laugh at it and be like, oh, we're kind of like this, but not at all too. Let's not let ourselves become like that, because I could very much sense myself in the character of Little Edie being like, I need to live my life. I need to get out of this house. But also, this is what I'm here to do, because 2 years after Grey Gardens was filmed, Big Edie passed away, and that's when Little Edie got to live her life and was the person that she always dreamed of being. So it's just funny how she asked to watch that with me, and then it led to this almost cathartic moment of laughter and humility.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've never
that's.
seen that.
Yeah, you never seen Grey Gardens?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty great one.
I'm bad with movies.
I definitely have had similar things going on in a similar situation as you, also taking care of my mother recently, and helping out with that. And I think the kind you kind of start to inspect things with like a closer lens when everything is getting flared by the imminent and things like that.
Yeah, suddenly everything's kind of more life and death, you know? Like the little things start to also get magnified, but also fall away.
Totally. Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we're arguing about something really stupid right now. And then you remember the truth of the situation and the anger is just gone in a second.
Yeah.
But it's because of the heaviness and being faced with death. I really do feel like caregiving is an initiatory process, because
Yeah.
it brings you right up to the precipice of the afterlife or the underworld, really. It like drags you there, and it's a place that's really uncomfortable to be when you're living.
Yeah.
So I think that it also increases synchronicities too.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think also I've been thinking a lot about how fiction plays a part in this, and things like movies and stuff. And I start to question if like the superimposition of things like synchronicity and seeking out patterns in the world is kind of like at times a coping narrative that we overlay to kind of like make sense of things that, I don't know, at times might not have connected meaning or is just hard to deal with.
Right.
And that's kind of like that's a little bit of a skeptic, I guess, way of looking at it. But I think you have to kind of be a little bit suspect of things that are guiding you or narratives that feel leading in your life sometimes, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm. You can't let yourself be led by a narrative that's not your own or that you don't want to be in. For example, I don't want to be like little Edie, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think knowing the narrative though is like sort of a ward against it though? I mean, it's almost like the way like a talisman depicting a certain thing can be like the evil
eye.
Right.
I do. Seeing my situation depicted on screen to an extreme degree, and like seeing little Edie throwing her tantrums and like her helplessness about her situation, and her mom's like, you know, you had a choice, right? Like you didn't have to spend the last 25 years giving up your life to take care of me. You didn't have to do that. And yet she's just losing her mind. And I'm like, wow, I don't want that to be me.
And
yeah.
So by seeing that and seeing my worst behaviors, like, depicted in this cartoonish way, it is therapeutic because it almost is like a release valve, so that when I start to do that, I imagine myself as little Edie with the little towel wrapped around my head, just like in the dirty room with a can of cat food in my hand. And I'm like, ooh, don't be that. Cool it down.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I do think it can be an antidote.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I've certainly, it's not, it's almost like an embarrassing, pulled on the same like neural string as like, I don't know, seeing someone do something and then feeling like, oh, well, I'd kind of do that, but I didn't like it when I saw that. Like, so it's like it has this embarrassment tone to it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe there's something to like embarrassment having like this magical quality to it or something.
I agree. Yeah.
Talismanic thing.
I saw a book the other day in a free book nook called Is Shame a Good Thing? And I did not take it home with me because I was like, I don't need that right now.
Right.
But an interesting concept. It was mostly about how we can use the tool of public shaming as a transformative power, which we see a lot with like online mobs and culture wars, et cetera. But
yeah, it seems more like a suicide machine, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, for real. And this book was arguing the benefit of that. And I did not take that book, but I do think that there is something to be said for, you know, if you're canceled or your spot gets blown up or you're like embarrassed, you're going to examine those behaviors probably and maybe not do them again or do them less.
Yeah. There's like a, I don't know, shame.
Shame versus the egregore. It's like an abstract duel.
Yeah, I think shame is interesting. Shame is so,
can there
it's
be
so
a healthy
private
version of it?
Conscience, I guess. You know, yeah. Like, I mean, it's, I think shame is, I don't, yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing because there's shame and there's, it's kind of paired with like pity, which is also like these two kind of sides of this sword. And I don't know. Yeah, it's these kind of like emotions that are, yeah, there's value in them, but I think mostly if they're weaponized,
I think shame is most effective when you're ashamed of yourself, not when someone else is trying to shame you, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's like
you can't really be shamed effectively.
That's the whole like operations of our media now is just trying to shame the other side. And that's like why our politics is just like this garbage theater at this point. But it's all just like, you know, these journalists who are part of this machine just having to go out there and be like, fuck, well, I guess I got a one up, so I'm just going to shame these people. But it doesn't really do anything. There's just like a shame war going on.
And it's not very productive. It kind of just tears things down instead of building anything up, which isn't what's needed.
No. Yeah, I think shame is net bad, but I do think there's a
I think there's a healthy amount of being ashamed of one's mistakes that is good for a person.
Or at least it's unhealthy to not have it, maybe.
Yes.
It's easier to get to something that feels true by using like double negatives, I think, sometimes. Yeah, shame. Speaking of shame,
Oh, I'm ashamed
what?
of something I did when I
Let's hear it.
slept walk for the first time the other night.
That's right. Yeah, you said, yeah, what happened?
Okay. I went up to Vermont for the eclipse and I was staying at my partner's aunt's house for the first time. We arrived late at night, so she was like, I'll give you the house tour tomorrow. And we just went to bed. And that night, I woke up not in the room that I went to bed in. But I woke up in the bed that his father was in. So I slept walked and crawled into my partner's father's bed.
While he was in it?
Yeah. And he got out and retrieved my partner, who then came and woke me up and guided me back to the bed. And I barely remember any of this. But I was like, wow, that's scary. This idea, like, who was that person that did that? It was me. It
I
was my
wonder.
body, but I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, that's like,
That's not like shame though. That's more like embarrassment, no offense, but yeah, like
yeah.
yeah. 'Cause it's not like you didn't do that consciously.
Right.
I've had some sleepwalking things too, but yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yes, I have, but I would just be like this is probably a long time ago, like after a heavy night of drinking, and I would just be like sleep peeing in a corner of a room, and so I'd be like, what the fuck are
Oh
you
no.
doing?
I did that once.
I've never done
That's
that.
like, see, now that's like shame. There's a bit of shame there.
Yeah, that's shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I squatted right on the ground in
Yeah.
the
Well, at
middle
least
of
it's
the room.
outside. Oh no,
I
that's
guess
not
I thought
okay.
I was camping. I was camping the night before.
Makes sense, yeah. Carries
Yeah, this
over.
is the most intimate episode of Insensitive and Reality yet.
Yeah, I didn't I thought we were going to talk about Uri Geller and stuff, but now we're talking about sleepwalk
Well, does
peeing.
he have anything? Oh, yeah. So I had this dream last night. A nightmare. This really horrible two-dimensional like hag was like chasing me around, like a naked, like very tall hag.
Oh, wow.
Two-dimensional in that like it kind of looked like the face kind of looked like a flounder, and that like its whole face was visible, but it was all on one side. And just as it was about to get me, I woke up and I couldn't move, and I heard a really loud knock on the wall, like outside the house. So, and then another knock, and I'm like on a third floor, so it's not like a reasonable place for there to be
Yeah,
knocking.
no. Unless you're a really tall hag.
Yeah, it could have been the hag. But, and then, so after like, I don't know how long it took. I woke up into that, like the knocks. And then also a sort of like, I've had sleep paralysis maybe like twice in my life, maybe three times, very mildly, maybe five, you know. And it always, you wake up into this like really unique sonic environment, at least I do, where it sounds kind of like, in Twin Peaks, The Return, when you go into the explosion and it's that Penderecki score, where it's like all these like violins going all over the place, and it kind of sounds like atoms bouncing around. It kind of
I
sounds like a
don't, but I can imagine
yeah
it.
Yeah, just like bouncing noises, like really quick, high pitch, like tingling
Ah,
everywhere.
yeah.
And then, so I was in that for like just a second, and then there was the knocks. And then I looked at this big alien portrait in the hallway outside my room, by Eugenia Macer Story. And so I looked at that, and I sometimes when I wake up, I look at that to convince myself there isn't someone standing in the hallway because that's there instead, which maybe it's creepy itself. But and so then I saw that, and that kind of woke me out of the paralysis, and I rolled over and went back to sleep. But yeah, it was very strange. It happened in like 10 seconds. It wasn't very long, but
Oh, freaky.
yeah, a hag.
Isn't that
I
it?
never had a hag.
You never had a hag, yeah.
No, I've always had a I've had noises and voices in that state, but no, never a
Never a flounder hag.
Yeah,
No.
little el like little elves. Yeah, it's an
Yeah.
elves.
Yeah,
Little
I've had the lunar sprite.
squonk.
That's it.
Is do you think that's like reflexive though? Because like Penderek, she's like that is like the thing most consistent with like horror movie scores is like strings in suspension, you know?
Yeah,
No.
I don't think so, because it doesn't sound like that at all. That's just like the closest thing I could think of at the moment. It
Yeah.
sound like, and this happened when I was like a little kid too, and I didn't feel like I understood the trope, like the sound trope of it back then.
Yeah. I
It's
went through a
more, it's like
period of
chaos.
sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I went through a period of trying to induce like astral projection, where you like wake yourself up at a certain point in your sleep cycle and then you try to fall back asleep but stay awake. And I was doing that like every single night. And one night, the closest that I got, I must have gotten really close because all of a sudden my body, it felt like it was vibrating really hard. And I heard this sound that I can't even describe it, but like, screeching or just like loudness. But like a metallic vibrating cacophony, but not necessarily unpleasant, just completely overwhelming. Like it felt like the sound wanted to invade my body, which I guess is kind of the point, because then you separate out from your body and you're not in it anymore. But it was really freaky. But I feel
Yeah,
like
that's
that might
crazy.
be similar to what people experience in sleep paralysis, is
It
what
sounds
I
like
was
it.
trying to induce at that moment.
Yeah, I'm not like someone who's really had like I wouldn't think of myself as like a sleep paralysis person. I just it's like it's happened what I would think of as very mildly a few times, but it's always really interesting. Last time, was it last episode or the episode before that, I was talking about this Hemisync, like the gateway tapes thing I did, the meditation, and I had this really bizarre out of body experience while I was doing those. It didn't work on the second one. I did the second and third lessons and it didn't happen again, but the first time it did, of just like very detailed, like going through the house, going out into the world, going to the bookstore, like going to all these places in like this very conscious out of body way. It was really bizarre.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Have you like experimented with the Monroe Institute? I know you guys did an episode on the Gateway, the CIA aspects of it and whatnot, but have you ever like listened to the actual tapes?
I've listened to the first couple from the first wave, but I haven't gone any further. Mostly because I know that it's going to work really well. And I'm like, if I open up my mind too wide right now, I feel like my brain's going to fall out and I need to be a little bit grounded. But what I did experience, I liked the tuning, the resonant tuning. I still do that sometimes, like when I walk into a room.
Yeah. Where you like hum, kind of.
Yeah, like match the tone of the room.
Yeah, that's weird. It makes me uncomfortable. I hate being alone and like singing or like, you know, like when
Oh, that's
meditations,
my favorite. I can't
I
wait to
can't,
get
it's,
alone to sing.
oh, I mean, it's not like singing. That's fine. I mean, more like you're sitting there quietly and then you're just like, it's like, fuck.
Oh,
Like, what if someone
yeah.
hears me? It makes you like want to say ohm so they know that you're not like having a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, what he asked you to do is like when you're breathing out, like try to hum or like exhale at the resonance of like, and then there's like these monks in the background or something,
You sound
and
like you're having a
it's
stroke.
yeah, or like having like a, I don't know what, it's bizarre. Yeah, I don't know. I still did it. But what do I care?
Did
Yeah,
you
how far did you go into it?
just like I did the first set. I got like these discs. I got the CDs from Macedonia.
Very
And
nice.
I have no idea if they're bootlegs or if they're like, because this guy had like hundreds of them.
Oh no, you don't want a bootleg Hemi sync. God forbid. Can you imagine what it's gonna do?
Right, that's what I
Yeah.
said.
They're just
Yeah.
like shoving demons in there. No,
Exactly. It's the exact same. Like I've listened to it like a bit on YouTube and stuff. It's the exact same recording, unless you like snuck in like a
Dude,
demon's
subliminals,
growl.
man.
Right.
Yeah, you would never know.
We were talking
I don't
about
know.
this whole world of like subliminal videos. Are you
Oh
familiar with this
yeah.
stuff? Yeah.
Very much so.
What's the most popular one is like called the Concordia something. But people, it's almost like a creepypasta where people are like, I watched this and then I had all of this like crazy stuff happen to me, and it kind
Yeah.
of makes you like scared to do it. Like I was thinking that also when listening to the gateway stuff on YouTube, I was like, fuck, what if I fall asleep and then there's like some kind of like shampoo ad that's gonna get like imprinted in my
Yeah,
brain or
right.
something. Yeah.
Deeply lodged in there. That's like how I had a brain that I was being trained to be an assassin spy, and my trigger phrase was the NPC girl going, ooh, balloon. And then like
Oh yeah.
my trigger was that the person's head would become a balloon, and then when I shot them, I would just watch the balloon pop so that my brain wouldn't store the memory of me shooting someone's head. It would just be a balloon pop.
Dude,
And
that's
I'm
crazy. Yeah.
the TikTok girl is the trigger phrase, and I was like, God damn, social media is weird.
Yeah, you
It's
should
like,
write
yeah,
that
I
into
don't
like a
think.
short story. That's an amazing anecdote.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
sounds like I don't know who. So I feel like that's like something that would happen in Philip K. Dick if he were alive today. God rest his whatever. But
Seriously, let
yeah,
that
that's
heart
crazy.
rest, man. Give
Yeah.
that heart a rest, man.
What else is going on here? I have William T. Stead's Glue Sniffing and Out of Body Experiences, a self-published book by a Scottish gentleman who had a very chaotic teenage life and started sniffing glue and then started having these
As you
out of
do.
body experiences. Yeah, I guess that was the thing back then, glue. And
Back
sometimes these
then.
print-on-demand books are not bound so well, and this one like folds open to a certain page, kind of, and that page is about how this pivotal moment in his life happened when he found a book by Franklin Merrill Wolfe called Pathways Through to Space, which is weirdly a book that we talked about on the
Oh
podcast
yeah, I'm looking at it over there.
like a year. So that was kind of weird that the book like falls open to that.
Oh yeah. Does
Biblio
it
stuff.
have you sniffed any glue?
No, I mean, I don't. Is glue like literally just glue, or is that like a code word for like a specific kind of glue?
It's glue, man.
So
I mean, I've
glue's,
sniffed Elmer's glue. Sure, I didn't do
nah,
anything.
haven't you seen gummo? You need the wood glue. There's too much like
Oh,
milk in
rubber
regular glue.
cement
Yeah.
is the best to smell.
I mean, I've smelled rubber cement.
That's
I've
good,
used it.
huh?
Yeah, it smells
See,
like.
this is probably why I can't smell it all now. I've like burned my nose on too many weird chemicals, just like getting a big whiff.
Is it like whippets? Is that what's whippets?
You're in the same
Isn't that
arena there.
that's
Yeah.
like the thing that's in
Whipped cream and stuff.
And whipped cream.
It's what fuels the aerosol little thing.
Nitrous.
Yeah.
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 Nitrous.
That's what Aaron Carter died of.
Really?
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he was doing whippets.
I thought he died
Dude.
of a broken heart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real cause.
Yeah.
Which actually, this is a good lead in to talking about Peter Pan.
Oh yeah, you've been looking into Peter Pan.
I have a soft spot for child stars for whatever reason, specifically like tragic child stars that did not have a great trajectory. There's something about their stories that I
Yeah.
connect with.
You watched that Nickelodeon thing?
I did. That was sick.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was gross. I didn't like that fifth episode they did. It felt weird.
Don't remember. I was like, I
They
was
like
looking at my computer.
they added an addendum episode that was like, well, everybody liked the show so much, so we're gonna add an extra episode.
Oh
Here's
my
Drake
God.
Bell's song about being diddled. And I'm like, oh, can we not?
Oh,
But
Drake.
they did.
Oh,
Yeah.
Drake. Yeah.
Just yeah.
No comment. Except
It
it's all too bad. And I shouldn't have watched that.
is. It
It
is all too bad.
seems like it's not my business. I don't know why that kind of stuff gets put on TV. Except I guess it's because it was like in everybody's lives. So like to dispel this like sunny vision of what it takes to create those kinds of television shows, I guess. There's
What it
apparently
takes.
human souls, I
So
guess.
my takeaway from what that show really accomplished is that it got the families of the people involved to have a conversation about the tough things that happened, and like
Sure.
brought that mother and son together. They hadn't talked in a long time. They were like totally estranged. So
Right.
because the show happened, it got these families to finally connect again. But I don't think that you or I needed to see any of it. It kind of felt like they were
Yeah.
being exploited again by the fact that like this show happened. I was like, yeah, we don't need to see all the highlights of all the grossest
Yeah.
child exploitation. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, it did
Like,
seem like a greatest hits. I didn't watch it because I knew
yeah,
that
it
already.
was.
I
It was,
mean,
and it felt weird
it's kind
for
of
that
just like
reason.
all true crime though, isn't it? Except these people mostly weren't dead, so it's even worse.
Yeah. But the nature of being a child star is like you're kind of it fucks with your sense of identity, I feel like, because from a young age you're not really meant to be a kid, so it's like your childhood gets all skewed and then you're an adult, but you're you, but you're also valued because of these roles that you play. So, Amanda Bynes, she really lost it. She was saying shit like her father microchipped her and was controlling her. And, that's not true, but
It's not.
for all intents and purposes, metaphorically, it kind of is.
Yeah.
What do you think of the microchip stuff? Do you think that's real? Has it happened, do you think?
No. Maybe. And monkeys.
But I mean, like, do you think like I could be being controlled right now?
Oh yeah. But not by a microchip.
Yeah.
Oh.
More of like an elf beam or something. Elf bar, smoking that elf bar, you know.
I've never had one. is that like a whatever happened to Jewel? So Jewel is
Stop.
done.
Stop. Stop the tape. You can't. I can't allow this. Have you seen the film A Map to the Stars? I feel like it kind of preaches what you're talking about there in a very interesting way. It's a Cronenberg movie.
No. Oh yeah. Yeah, actually. And it has like the fitness instructor in it.
Yeah.
And Julianne Moore, I believe, is in it.
Yes, yeah. That's an awesome movie.
Redhead.
I think
Yeah.
the kid who's in it is like maybe related to an actual child actor. It seemed kind of like he was like real it really hit home because I could sense that he was like modeled after child actors I'd watched on shows growing up and whatnot. But yeah, I felt like that was a very effective film in the kind of like traumatogenic state that having that done to your childhood could induce, and like
Totally.
the paranormal element as well is
Right. So this is where the paranormal comes in for my story. I'm kind of always dipping in and out of stories of different child stars from different eras and whatever, just because, like I said, it's an interest of mine. And then the next day, my mom wakes up from sleep and she's like, you know, the weirdest thing happened last night. I woke up in the middle of the night and the name Bobby Driscoll was repeating in my head. And I remembered, oh my God, I smoked dope with Bobby Driscoll. Because, you know, my mom was hanging out on the Lower East Side, Manhattan in the 60s and 70s, and she was like a wild child hippie. So I'm like, wow, you smoked dope with Bobby Driscoll. That's the voice of Disney's Peter Pan. And concurrently with my child star research, I had also been diving deep into Peter Pan. And my mom didn't know that. I don't really talk to her about what I'm researching and looking into. So it was wild to me that she came to me to be like, yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night just hearing Bobby Driscoll, and it made me remember that, like, I did heroin with him, and he died in a pauper's grave that's unmarked, and like he was kind of disposed of by Disney because he grew up and got pimples and wasn't such a cute kid anymore, and then he never was able to transition his career back to a good place.
That's
That's
wild.
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the what do you call that? Like, I mean, it's not. Is it synchronicity or is it like a weird, like pseudo telepathy, like a
Yeah.
unconscious telepathy almost?
Yeah. It also almost felt like Bobby Driscoll from Beyond the Grave being like,
Yeah.
remember me. You're looking into Peter Pan. You care about child stars. Like,
Yeah, what
talk
about
about
me?
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
Certainly,
ghost.
the Driscoll thought form was there. Yeah.
Yeah. And Peter Pan is an interesting one because, like, what the fuck is his deal? Visiting children's bedrooms at night, lying to them, being like, hey, come along to Neverland. Like, okay. And then what? Just never come home? Because once they get there, they start losing their memories.
Well, do you know what the, I actually don't, I feel like I should know what like the origin of Peter Pan is. I'm sure it was it a children's
It started
book in
out
like the
as a
19th,
play.
oh, a play.
Yeah, it was actually a staged play. And it was done by this guy, J.M. Barrie, the Scottish playwright,
Oh, yeah.
who, what's the name of that family that was modeled? They're called the Darling Family in Peter Pan, but their real name is something else, and I should know it because they're like an important family.
The bastard
And
family.
yeah, and he kind of like, he's this very short guy. He's strange. He liked to write under the title Anonymous. And a lot of his writings were, they had this horror slant on them, but were also comedic. Like there was one story he wrote called The Body in the Black Box, where he keeps seeing this guy in the window of this shop every day and like hates this guy. This guy creeps him out. Eventually, it's revealed that it is indeed his own reflection or shadow, and at one point it kills him and then takes over his body, and it's revealed that it's his shadow that took over his body that's been writing the story the whole time. So he
That
had like
rocks.
he had this inner darkness to him despite being like outwardly goofy, partially because he was really pissed that he was short and no girls liked him.
Damn, even back then, I thought that was a new
short
thing.
king, yeah.
Yeah, even back then, he would write like, oh, if only I was a foot taller, then all the ladies would want to talk to me. So what
Wow.
he would do is he would write plays inspired by actresses and women that he was infatuated with.
Genius.
That's funny too, because
Yeah.
there's a that's
It's
a
like a
whole
Seinfeld thing.
that's like a whole dark context to like the shadow game in Peter Pan, right?
Yeah, how his shadow flies into Wendy's bedroom and she has to sew it back onto him.
Ugh.
Integrating the
Yeah.
shadow.
You ever read that? I forget what it's called. It's a Ray Bradbury story about this guy who like decides that his skeleton is like trying to control his life. And so he like
No.
he's having this like war with his skeleton. And or, like he like feels like his skeleton has its own agenda, basically. I feel like it might just be called like the skeleton or something like that, but
God, that's creepy.
yeah, he like hates his skeleton. He like hates that he has a skeleton.
I used to feel that way about my shadow because I read a story in Weekly World News about this kid whose shadow was bullying him.
Poor guy.
I was scared that my shadow might start to like talk someday and like say mean things to me. And then I was like, wait, I already do that inside my own head. And
It's never
that
too
shadow
late.
was already talking, basically.
Jung would say that the shadow is doing that. No, he would say that
Precisely.
you have to befriend it, or at least acknowledge it. But
My shadow's talking. I can't understand what he's saying. He's speaking
my
German.
shadow speaks Swiss because it learned from C.G. Jung. I don't know if that's a language. Is Swiss a language? Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
I'm supposed to be literate.
Need an air horn right there.
Speaking of supposed to be literate, another addition to what's on Ben's shelf, the recurring consensus on reality column, audio column,
Is it?
is
I've
yeah.
never heard this column.
Well, it's been
I've
unnamed
been
as
disassociating, I guess.
it's been
It's my
a
favorite column.
yeah. This is like why half of people turn in. It's for the column. I'm reading A Planetary Saga and Return of Ali Zantel and Journey in Space with Ali Zantel, combined edition by Frank Howard. It's a large format, staple bound book, three columns of verse per page. It is a long series of poems about flying saucer contact, and the subtitle of the book is The Multicolored Sphere Within the Timeless Vortex, is basically what you get from a lot of the language here. It's really beautiful. I've had it for like 15 years now. It was one of the first like books over $30 I bought for myself,
Nice.
like in a shop. And so every once in a while I pull it out. I've never read it straight through because it's utter madness, but it's very inspiring to my own craft once in a while when I have a look at it because it's
Craft.
so, yeah, I get it. Because of UFOs.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't read very many poems about UFO encounters.
They're few and far between, but there are some good ones. And it depends how you define poem, but this is a good example. And so to read from a random page very briefly. Okay.
You're gonna read it
High
aloud,
above.
right?
It's like sitting here reading. High above the hills and valleys, high above the restless waters of the oceans of this planet, floated a majestic liner from a distant constellation of this great galactic system. For this portion of its journey on the vibrant cosmic highways was completed as it rested, bathed in energy and light rays from a million solar systems held from straying from their orbits by the grand galactic vortex. There it rested in the heavens of this local solar system. And then this person, whoever owned this before, had highlighted these next four lines. With its load of special cargo for many lunar bases hidden deep within the craters far below the lunar surface. And I'll end my recitation there.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't it nice? I love this
That's
book.
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's why, like, the flying saucer era is untouchable. You know, it's so
Yeah.
pleasant. I know there's like Nazis in the background, you know, once you like
Right.
shut the covers, but like that
Yeah.
stuff, that's gold. Like, what is like saucer related ephemera? Is it there should be a name of it, like Sauciana. You know how like
Sauceriana.
on American Pickers, they'll be like, this guy,
Sauceabilia.
he loves Petroliana, you know, like gas
Right.
related shit, like saucer related. I could get into that, you know.
I guess I think it's Sauceriana, maybe, but that's like maybe Saucerian, the publisher.
Sauceriana.
Yeah. Anyway,
I liked that
it's
poem.
sounds like a skin
It's
disease.
very lunar.
Yeah, there's a lot of moon stuff in here. If I can find a
Have you ever
PDF,
seen
I'll send it around. Seen what?
Nude on the Moon?
No.
I
I
mean,
don't
there's
think
not,
so.
it's very thin. plot-wise. But it's one of those 60s like nudie pics that was directed by Doris Wishman, and it's about these two adventurers that go to the dark side of the moon and like find a colony of nudists. And
That
it's
sounds
all filmed
great.
at the Coral Castle in Florida.
What? Oh my God, I gotta
Oh, I'm gonna
watch
watch
this.
that. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, sounds like Naked
I was actually
Vampire a
watching
little bit.
it earlier today.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, that's like very up my alley in terms of movies. That's my speed
What,
right now.
they're nude?
No, I just like that era of like low budget films. They can be nude if they want to be. I,
Yeah.
no skin off my nose.
Was that like a that wouldn't was that like a midnight movie or would it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Gotcha. That's cool. Nice. I gotta check that out. Love that Coral Castle. I haven't been there, but
I know. I'm like, wow, I want to go to the nudist party at Coral Castle
definitely, yeah.
where we're all pretending that we're on the moon. Like, yes.
Some rough edges
That
out
does
there,
sound
though.
fun.
Yeah.
It was a different time. It would not go down so smooth today.
You don't
Maybe
think?
it would, I don't know. And Neil deGrasse Tyson would be there, saying we're not really on the moon.
That's probably what he thinks
Right.
goes on at like Coral Castle already. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, because of the iPhone's new writing down what you say feature, now his name's going to be up there as related to consensus unreality. And so let's just say I believe in science.
Right. Same.
Psych. Psych.
Ecology also.
Yeah. Psychology.
I was in Whitley Strieber land over the weekend. I was in
Oh
like
yeah, you were in Dreamland.
I was in Dreamland. I don't where is he now? Is where does he live now? I feel like
I
I
don't
just saw
know.
that. I don't think Dreamland is not upstate New York. I think he like does not like that place anymore. He didn't want to return to the cat. They got him to return to the cabin like 30 years later, finally.
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
Yeah. But
I like Willie.
Like, yeah, he learned to love his gang stalkers, and that's really what you need to do at the end of the day.
right. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely did a little bit. I was kind of like I was at a wedding a couple of years ago and I was talking to my friend's father and my friend was like this guy does like a UFO podcast. And my friend's dad was like, "Oh yeah, I used to love Whitley Strieber." Like and then I found out he was lying and then I was so disappointed and I was like what? Was there like a thing? Am I like getting Mandela effect? Like, was there a thing that said like Whitley Strieber said he made it up?
I don't
And
think so.
I think the only thing he got gotcha'd on was being on campus when there was that like shooting at the Texas College.
He has
That
some
was his
spooky
thing.
stuff,
And
yeah.
then he said that like it could have been like a screen memory and there's weird shit surrounding it. But I don't know if he ever retracted anything about the visitors.
I don't know. I'm not too well read on Whitley, to be quite honest.
Have you read Communion?
I haven't.
It'll scare your pants off.
He's
Yeah, it's,
scary.
I don't need that.
Yeah.
It's really scary. Like actually, well, he's a horror
He's
writer,
a
like by
horror.
trade, so it's scary. Yeah,
Right. Man, I
it's
had a
beautiful.
Mandela or a screen memory.
Really?
I was thinking about The Office, which I haven't watched in forever. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's like a pretty funny show. I should go back and watch it. And then as I was watching it, I was like, where's the hair plug episode?
And there wasn't one.
There's no hair plug episode, but like I have vivid memories of an episode of Michael getting hair plugs. And like it's a
Huh.
gross episode too. Like his head's like all bloody and stuff, like if they're bad
What?
hair plugs, but this episode does not exist. But
Are you
apparently
sure?
there are fan like fan written like fanfic episodes about Michael getting hair plugs. So I'm like, what the did I don't know.
Now I'm remembering that.
But
I feel like there's
there's
enough,
it.
yeah, there's like enough office obsessives out there to like be able to project that, manifest that Mandela effect of like an episode for sure.
Yeah.
Many episodes, yeah. Powerful fanfic, I think.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
I think
like the
that
episode, the dress up parties alone had to be numerous, voluminous.
Yeah, I'm picking up on somebody's fanfic, I think.
You tuned into the wrong radio station when you were trying to
I
watch The Office. Huh.
want the hair plug episode back.
It's funny though because his hair changed after the first season. Like he had that
What I
great
learned is that,
comeback.
yeah, Steve Carell actually did get hair plugs, like for real.
That's demented.
So you were like channeling Steve Carell's anxieties into an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I was probably looking at his hairline and just thought like, looks different in the older seasons.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're like the Kenneth Grant of like office lore. Yeah,
Yes.
office metafiction.
Huh. There you go.
Yeah, I wonder if we have like a what Lovecraft was to Grant. If we have a Grant today, what his Lovecraft would be? Would it be The Office?
Cartoon characters.
Yeah, right. Would
Yeah.
it be
SpongeBob.
I hope it's not SpongeBob.
It's fucking SpongeBob. I hate to tell
I think
you.
SpongeBob is potent as hell. It's like it's insane how rich those memes are. Like
Yeah.
it's like an endless well.
Yeah,
You
when
know,
you're... Oh,
Patrick is
why?
literally a pentagram.
Right.
Oh man. Oh gee.
It took all
Squidward.
that Nickelodeon trauma to fuel
Right.
something
It
like
was
that.
like,
Yeah.
we can get into the sacred geometry of SpongeBob right now, but we'll save that for another day.
Square for SpongeBob, triangle for Patrick,
Masons.
circle
No,
for
triangle for Mr.
Squidward.
Krabs.
Mr. Krabs is a triangle. Yeah.
Patrick is a star.
Is a star, of course. A star fish.
Squaring the compass and you get to the stars.
It's bizarre. I
And
wonder,
then you
yeah.
have the octopus. You know, we don't want to talk about what that represents. We'll have to cut that part. That'll be in the Netflix true crime special.
What octopus? You mean Squidward?
Yeah.
He's a
No,
squid.
I mean that he represents the
Oh, he
underground crime
represents.
syndicate, obviously.
Oh, that's what I was also going to talk about. I watched The Octopus,
I didn't.
the docu or the doco, as they call it in Europe. Whereas I call it a doc. But it was pretty good. Very personal, which I found interesting. It was very much about one guy's obsession with Danny Casolaro and his research. A weird thing happened to me where I had bought a vintage security guard manual for the company Wacken Hut, a sort of notorious American private security firm that also had government contracts. And then as it went, the day it arrived, I was binging that whole show, and there was this whole thread in it about Wacken Hut, the security firm, like being this major player in the octopus conspiracy.
Done, done.
So that was odd. But luckily Wacken Hut is defunct, and so they're not the ones fueling that coincidence.
No, it's Squidward.
Squidward and his flute, clarinet.
Was gonna say, I wonder what Albert Pike would think of the sacred geometry between SpongeBob, but then I realized that I could just like look that up on YouTube, you know. Somebody has
Yeah.
definitely applied morals and dogma to like SpongeBob for sure.
I don't think they have yet.
You don't think so? I don't know. On TikTok?
On TikTok, maybe, but I wouldn't know. I'm not on there.
I haven't been on TikTok yet.
Not after that dream, anyway. No. You had a
Right,
dream about TikTok?
good. Yeah. Stay off.
Yeah, the assassination one.
Oh, that right. That's she's a TikTok person. The yes woman.
Yeah. No, that was from watching YouTube videos about NPC girls and everybody being like, oh, look at this stupid thing that's going on. I'm like, ugh. That was like 10 minutes of my day that I just watched that stupid YouTube video. Now I'm going to have a scary dream tonight
And so you did. Yep.
about the stupid bullshit. Like, that's why you don't put that stuff in your brain.
Right. Do you have like a favorite subject or topic you guys did on nonsense?
It's hard to pick. I have fun with all sorts of stuff that we've covered. I really like just taking a person that people don't really think about or don't know about, like Jane Lett or Greta Garbo, and giving them the spotlight.
What was the last episode you did where you thought you're like, oh my God, I've cracked something here?
Oh boy. That's a good question. I'm trying to think.
If I've ever felt like we cracked something on
Chucky
our
Cheese.
show, I'm like, I think I just like cracked. Like I just fucking had a
Yeah.
nervous breakdown on microphone for like an hour.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean,
Put that behind the paywall, you know?
no,
Yeah,
seriously.
we've
I'm
done
trying to
that.
think of what was the episode that I did right before my. Yeah, it was Greta Garbo. That was the last one I did before I. No, it was Project Blue Balls. Wow, that's such a silly episode to have done like right before having a nervous breakdown.
What's that about?
Project Blue Balls?
Yeah, is it just Blue Book?
No, it's I interviewed a couple of people that do semen retention, and I talked about like the
Oh, yeah.
4chan subculture of people like not cooming.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, those people are crazy. You see them a lot, and they're
Yeah.
like, they have all these health benefits to it, and it's like, I guess it has a quasi magical philosophy. It must
It
be, right?
do. Yeah.
That's crazy. I would never, just kidding. That's wild though.
But that was one
Well,
where I actually was a bit cracked out for that one, and not because of like anything having to do with the content of the episode, but just because of my state of mind and not taking good enough care of myself,
yeah.
where the people that I talked to for it, I was struggling with knowing whether or not they were pranking me.
Yeah,
Well, I
that
think
makes
whether or
sense
not
though.
like they were fucking with me.
For that territory, I feel like that's less paranoia than like maybe a good suspicion.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people don't actually know where their sense of irony begins and their actual beliefs end, like on
I
in
thought that
that
was going somewhere
place.
else, Ben.
Why? Where was it gonna go?
Just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. That's the one where that's one where I'm like, semen retention, like that's magic. I'm good. I don't need to like get behind the curtain on that one, you know. There's other curtains out there.
Yeah, I also did that episode because I thought it would be really funny to make Sequoia just endure that for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like I want to do a rock episode and we just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, you keep fucking
Like,
spinning that rock episode.
you
know, there's
feels like a threat at this
everyone talks
point.
about rocks.
Yeah.
We're gonna get that rock episode.
I as I'd mentioned, I was listening to your guys' Puharic series, which I thought was wonderful. And super dense. and one of the things that made me remember or think about again, because I guess we do like everything's Okay,
paranoid
and
when
we're
you're
going to
like, you
move
know,
over
it's like
to Patreon now for the
vehicles and UFOs and all
second
that.
hour of this interview. If you're not a subscriber, check that out at patreon.com/consensusunreality. Thanks for listening.